Hare Krishna. Good morning. So today is a special day. It's the appearance day of Lord Ramachandra. It's called Ram Navami. And Kalakanta Prabhu asked me to tell some stories and a little bit about who is Lord Ram. And just out of curiosity, how many of you read the Ramayana? That's like half. I saw the movie, that's more important. How many saw the movie? Okay. So, Rupa Goswami says that there are 10 incarnations, like many incarnations. There are innumerable incarnations, but there are 10 main incarnations. And out of those, two are very special. And this is the Lord Narasingadev and Lord Ramachandra. And they are very special because of the way they interact with their devotees in a very personal way. So I learned to appreciate more the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra maybe... When was it that we went to Chitrakoot? Maybe 10 years ago we somehow or other, me and my wife, came to a place called Chitrakoot. Anyone been there in Chitrakoot? Chitrakoot, it's the meaning of Chitrakoot, it's a beautiful hill, and that's the first place Lord Ramachandra went when he left Ayodhya into exile, and he stayed there for a few years. So we were in India and I think we were in Jagannath Puri, and it became really difficult to stay there. It was really hot. So we opened the book that one devotee wrote. His name is Jad Bharat, and it's about holy places in India. And we thought, where shall we go next? We had a few months in India. And he wrote about Chitrakoot, and he said it's one of the most beautiful places in India, but they don't so many tourists there. There are no mineral water or facilities for tourists. And we read this and we said, we like to go and see this place, even if it's 1 or 2 days. And it was an amazing adventure. And one of the things I learned from it is just being with devotees of Lord Ramachandra, I learned to appreciate so much more the pastimes of Ramachandra and to have a little bit more devotion to Lord Ramachandra. So we'll speak about that a little bit. And we'll start with the Ramayana. The Ramayana is a book that is the main pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. It's also in the Bhagavatam, in the 9th canto, I believe. There are 2 chapters. And it's a very brief description of Lord Ramachandra. And Ramayana is considered to be the first scripture. The first Sanskrit verse ever written in poetry is from the Ramayana. And it's written by who? Valmiki. Anyone knows what was the profession of Valmiki before he became a sage? He was a hunter, and some people say he was a robber. There are different versions. And one story is that he tried one time to rob Narada Muni. He came to Narada Muni and he wanted to take something from him. And Narada Muni asked him if his family will agree to get the sinful activities he's committed. He said, you're okay, you're doing sins, but what about your family? Are they willing to share your sinful reaction? And Valmiki said, I think so. And he said, go and ask your family. And Valmiki went to his family, and his family said, we don't want to share the sinful reaction of trying to rob a sage. And he decided to change his heart. So he asked Narada Muni what to do. And Narada Muni gave him a very interesting chanting mantra, not to be imitated, because he thought that chanting Ram will be too much for him. In the beginning. So what was the mantra? Mara, which means Yeah. He was chanting Mara, Mara, Mara for a long time until he started to chant Ram. And then he did austerities for many, many, I believe, millions of years. Many, 60,000 years. And anthill built around him, and that's where his name came from, Valmiki, one who came from an anthill. So he one time came to Narada Muni, and he had a very interesting question, which we'll read. Narada asked him what he was meditating on, because he was meditating for a long time. So Valmiki said, "You are the son of Brahma, and you are like Vayu, the god of wind. You can enter everywhere, even into the minds of men, and know what thoughts there are in the innermost hearts of living beings." And then he asked his question, "I wonder if there is, in this world of men, a single individual, a man blessed with all the many good qualities which one can think of." So he asked basically, Narada Muni said, if there is a perfect man in this world, one who have all the qualities we can even think about them, which is an interesting question. So Narada Muni replied with a question. He said, "Tell me what the qualities are. Tell me what you're looking for, and I see if there is such a man." So Valmiki said, "Integrity, bravery, righteousness, gratitude, truthfulness, dedication to one's principles, character without blemish, concern to all living beings, learning, skill, beauty, a pleasing appearance, courage, radiance, ability to keep anger under control, perfect control, a lack of jealousy at all times, heroism which can frighten even the celestials." And then Valmiki smiled and he said, "I know I'm expecting perfection in a human being, but I wonder if there is such a person. Is it possible for a single man to have all those qualities? Even the gods have not been able to possess them." So he wanted the perfect person. And Narada thought about it and he said, "I happen to know such a man." And then he started to glorify Lord Ramachandra, and he told Valmiki Muni about Lord Ramachandra. And that's what we will try to tell in the next 40 minutes. 40 minutes? Half an hour? Yeah. We will try to glorify and tell a little bit about Lord Ramachandra. The original Ramayana is how many cantos? Anyone knows? It's okay to guess. The original is 24,000 verses, and it's considered to be 500 cantos, and they are divided to, I think, 9 khandas. So what we read now, it's a shorter version of it. And Narada told it to Valmiki, and Valmiki was very happy. And then something else happened, and at that time he didn't write it down, but then he went one day to the forest. He was in the forest and he saw very happy two birds making love. And he was happy, his heart was full of love. Although before he was a hunter, he was now very pure and happy. And he saw those birds, and then a hunter came and he shot an arrow and he killed one of the birds on the spot while they were making love. And Valmiki became very angry. Although he was a hunter, he was now so compassionate. And he said something that became the first verse ever spoken in Sanskrit. and it's here on the back of the book. I'll read it to you. He said, "O hunter, as you have killed the Karaucha bird, which was lost in ecstasy of love, you will not attain bliss for eternity." So he was very upset and he said this verse, and then he felt very sorry that he's cursing someone. He's a sage and he's not supposed to curse anyone, he's supposed to bless people. So he went back to his ashram and he was very upset. And he met one of his disciples, I think it was Bharadvaj Muni, and he told him, "Listen, what happened? I saw this and I cursed a person, but listen to the verse." It became a very special meter, a very nice verse, and he chanted this verse. And that was the first Sanskrit verse in poetry. So then Brahma came a day or two after that, and he asked Valmiki to write the Ramayana, to tell the story of Lord Rama. And he said, "How can I do it? I don't have any qualification." And he was around the time that Lord Ramachandra was, and they met Valmiki Muni and Ram, and also Ram's children and Sita went to Valmiki ashram. So he knew the story, heard it, but he didn't feel qualified to be able to write it, so, or chant it. At that time they didn't write. So Brahma told him that the same meter he used for this verse, the first verse, will be the way the Ramayana will be written, and that he should just pray to Lord Ramachandra and meditate, and all the knowledge will come to him. So he did it for a long time, and he could see in his mind all the pastimes, different pastimes, all the conversation Lord Ramachandra had with people. And he chanted it, and he basically didn't write. At that time they didn't write, but he composed the Ramayana. So we'll start from the beginning. There was a very beautiful... There was a Rakshasa. Everyone know what a Rakshasa is? No. Okay. Rakshasas are as powerful as demigods, but they are demons. So they have a very strong abilities. They are very strong, but they tend to eat human beings and do other things that are not so appreciated. So this Rakshasa had a very beautiful daughter. Some of them are pious. I mean, most of them are pious because they understand that piety gives power, but behind that, their intention or motivations are not toward serving God. So he had a daughter which was very beautiful, and he saw that if my daughter will marry a sage, then the children will be very powerful because it will be the combination of a Rakshasa and a powerful sage. So he asked, he had a very beautiful daughter. I don't remember her name. What was the name? That's another story. That was the wife of Gautama Rishi. So he asked her to go to a sage that was a very powerful sage and did austerities in the forest, and ask him to marry her and have children. And she was very beautiful and pious, and she went and she did it, and the sage was in deep meditation, and he felt her presence, he opened his eyes, and she said, "You are a Brahmana, and I want to have children from you, and that you will marry me." And he looked at her and he said, "Okay, I will marry you, but because you came in the wrong time, and you disturb my meditation, the children we will have will be very powerful demons. Very, very powerful demons." Yeah, Ravana. Yeah, so one of them was Ravana, the other one was Kumbhakarna, and she was devastated. She was pious, so she fell at his feet and she said, "Maybe we can do something to change it, to counteract it." So he said, "One of your children will be a great devotee, Vibhishan." Yeah. So they had those children. The first was Ravan, the second Kumbhakarna, then Suparnaka, then many other children. I don't remember all the names. And the last one was Vibhishan, which was a great devotee. And those children became great demons. If you know the story from the third canto about the two gatekeepers from heaven that fell down, they had three incarnations. So what was the first one? Hiranyakashipu, and the second one? Ravan and Kumbhakarna, and the third one? Shishupal and Dandavaka. And some say there is a fourth that is Jaga and Madai, but I never found it in written, but I heard it in story. So they were a son of a very powerful sage and a powerful lady Rakshasa, and they were living, and one time another brother came who is from another woman, same father, and that's Kuvera. He's the demigod of treasure. And when the mother saw how opulent Kuvera is, she said to Ravan and all the other boys and girls, she said, "See how opulent he is, and you are from the same father. So if you do austerities, you can gain the same opulence or even more." So they all took a vow to do austerities for many years. They did austerities, very terrible austerities. Ravan, for example, he had 10 heads when he was born, and he would cut every year one of his head and offer it into the fire. And when he was about to cut his last head, Brahma was, "Okay, I don't have a choice. I have to appear and give him a benediction." He did so many austerities for so many years, like Hiranyakashipu. So he came to Ravan and he said, "What do you want?" And Ravan had a list already. It was in his mind. He didn't write it down, but he said, "I don't want to be killed by demigods. I don't want to be killed by Rakshasas. I don't want to be killed by this, that," and he gave the whole list. But he felt it's not appropriate for him not to be killed by human beings or monkeys or bears, because you're so powerful, you don't ask not to be killed by those people. So he gave the whole list, and Brahma said, "Okay." And he gave him two other benedictions. He gave him back all his heads, so he had again 10 heads. And he gave him the benediction that if someone cut his head will appear again. And he was happy. He became the most powerful person in the universe. And then it came the time for Kumbhakarna to get his benediction. And Kumbhakarna was a very terrible demon already. He was huge. He was very high. And he would, usually in fight, he would just take the soldier of the enemy and push them into his mouth and eat them. He wouldn't fight so much. So all the demigods saw that Brahma is going to give Kumbhakarna a benediction, and they ran to Brahma and said, "Come aside for a second. We want to speak with you." And they told him, "You cannot give him a benediction like Ravan, because he will destroy the whole universe. He's such a powerful demon." So Brahma said, "What can I do? I have to give him a benediction." So he thought, and then he decided to speak with Saraswati, which is his wife. And he said, "Saraswati, maybe you go, and when I ask Kumbhakarna what benediction he wants, you will change his mind, so his words will be not as he wants to." So Saraswati went inside Kumbhakarna's mouth, and Brahma asked Kumbhakarna, "So what do you want for your austerities?" And Kumbhakarna said, "I want..." And then Saraswati influenced him and said, "I want to sleep all year long, to be awake just one day a year." And Brahma said, "It shall be." And Kumbhakarna thought, "Why did I say such a strange benediction, to sleep all year long?" So Kumbhakarna went to sleep, and Ravan started harassing the whole universe. And his name Ravan, it means it's someone who makes everyone cry. because he was very powerful. Although he was pious, he was very powerful, and he just misused everything he could. He went to Lanka, which was the place of Kuvera, which was his brother, and he told him, if you don't leave immediately, I will take Lanka by force. And Kuvera was afraid. He just left Lanka, so he stayed in Lanka, which was the golden city of the demons, and he started terrorizing the universe. So the demigods and Bhumi, and they came to Brahma and say, you have to do something about Ravan. We cannot stand it anymore. And he said, let's go to Vishnu and pray to him. So they went to Vishnu and they prayed that he will do something. And he said, don't worry, I will incarnate as a human being, because that's the only way to kill Ravan, and I will take care of him. So that's the seventh incarnation, Lord Ramachandra. And we'll speak a little bit about what happened before Ramachandra appeared. So the place of Ayodhya is described very beautifully, that it was the perfect place to live. The king's name was Dasharath, and he was like a father to all his subjects, and everyone was very happy. It's described that no one told a lie, everyone was doing the profession perfectly. But they had one anxiety, and that was Dasharath anxiety. Dasharath didn't have any sons. He had one daughter, which he gave to Ramapad, his dear friend in another kingdom, to raise, but he didn't have any children. And he was sad, and because he was such a good king, everyone in the kingdom was sad also. So then one day he decided, why don't I ask the Brahmins to do an Ashvamedha Yagya, which is a very complicated Yagya, and try to obtain a son. So he went to his dear friend and minister, Sumantra, and he told him, I have this idea, maybe I'll ask the Brahmins to do an Ashvamedha Yagya, and I will have a son that will become the king. And Sumantra told him, he thought it's a good idea, and then he told him he heard a prediction many, many, many hundreds of thousands of years before. It was a tradition that Sumantra heard, that the four Sanat Kumars told, I don't remember who they told, that there will be a king by the name Dasharath, and he will perform an Ashvamedha Yagya, and he will obtain sons. But the person who need to do the Yagya is a very special Rishi, and his name is Rishi Shringa. And he's very powerful because he's very pure, and he will be the only one that can do this sacrifice to the fullest success. So he told this to Dasharath, and Dasharath went to his other ministers and told them, and they say, let's do it, but we need to get Rishi Shringa. Now the story of Rishi Shringa is very interesting. Rishi Shringa was a son of a very powerful sage. I'm trying to remember his name. I don't. Anyway, it was a very powerful sage that was born from Kashyapa Muni's mind. Kashyapa was so powerful, he was a Prajapati. He didn't have to do special things to have children. So one time he was meditating on the sun and he saw his very powerful person, and the person appeared. So this person, he was meditating for many, many years, and he became very powerful. He was praying to the sun, and Indra got really nervous because he saw that if someone gets so much piety, he will become the next Indra. So he went to his apsaras and he said, maybe one of you can go down and disturb his meditation. And one of them did. She was a very beautiful lady, and she went. And the sage was meditating, and she went to him and she asked him to have union with her. And he wasn't into it at all. He said, no, I won't ruin my meditation and get married. But if you want, you can use, he released some energy from his body. He said, if you want, you can use this semen and have a child for me, but I have nothing to do with you. So she thought she was successful, and she didn't know what to do with the semen. It was so powerful, it was glowing, and the whole universe shook. So she didn't know what to do. And then she saw a she-deer walking, a very beautiful she-deer. So with her mystic power, she put the semen inside the she-deer body, and she decided to leave. She went back to the heavenly planets. So the next day, the she-deer gave birth to a very beautiful human boy who had two small horns, and his name was Rishi Sringa. That's why they call him Rishi Sringa. And the she-deer didn't know what to do. She had a baby, a very beautiful, perfect baby. So she went to the sage and she said, you have to take care of your son. And he didn't know what to do, because it's unusual to be a sage in the forest and have a baby with no mother. So he decided, he was very frustrated with the woman that came from the heavenly planets, and he decided to go and live with his brother and until the baby will grow up a little bit. So he lived with his brother in the forest, and his brother was a very good friend, but his brother's wife was a little bit envious, because she was afraid that his brother will be influenced by such an austere person and will become also austere. So she gave him a hard time. So he left his brother's house and he decided to go to the forest and be by himself. And because of his experience with the woman who came to make him fall down, and then his brother's wife, he decided, my son will never see a woman in his life. So he built a brahmachari ashram in the forest, and no woman was allowed to enter this ashram. Even female deer or ants knew that females are not allowed to go inside this ashram. It's a very strict brahmachari ashram. So it's a very interesting story. So this boy grew up and he became a very powerful sage. He was very pure. He was, all the things he did was yagyas, because that was the yuga for yagyas, and nothing to disturb him, his mind. So he was very powerful, doing yagyas, living happily. But then in another kingdom, which was a friend of Dasharath, a very dear friend of Dasharath, his name was Roma Padmaraj. They had a problem. I won't go into it, but they had a problem because Roma Padmaraj, he did an offense. He made a mistake. And because of this mistake, there was no rains. One of the brahmanas got angry with him and he said, all the brahmanas need to leave the country. So when the brahmanas left, no more yagyas, no more yagyas, no more rain. So the whole place was in drought, no vegetables, everyone was hungry. The animals from the forest came into the city to eat the people because they didn't have anything else to eat. So they had a serious problem. And this Ramapad was a good friend of Dasharath, and he had Dasharath's daughter. Because he didn't have children, Dasharath gave him his daughter. So he asked what to do, and they told him, bring Rishi Sringa, and as soon as you bring him, there will be rain, and everyone will be happy. So he said, that's a good idea, but how can you bring Rishi Sringa? His father is such a powerful brahmana, and he don't let anyone come and see him, and he won't let us bring him into a kingdom. So they thought, and then they decide to collect all the most beautiful women in the kingdom and dress them like rishis and send them to get Rishi Sringa from the forest. And they waited, and then one day his father had to go. There was some emergency. One brahmana got caught in an elephant's mouth, and he had to go and rescue him. So he left the ashram, and all the ladies were ready. They came with the boat, and the Rishi Sringa saw them, and he said, "Wow, those are nice sages. They were dressed like sages." So he was trained to receive them well. So he massaged their legs and offered them food and offered them water, and he felt something inside of him is changing. He didn't know what it was, but he felt very attracted to those sages. And then they told him, "We have to go." And he said, "Please don't go. It's so nice to be in your company." So they say, "Come with us if you want. And we have a nice place, nice ashram, many agyas. You can come with us." So they took him on a boat and brought him to Maharaj Ramapad, who was waiting for him. And as soon as Rishi Sringa put one foot from the boat on the land, rain started pouring and vegetables started growing, and everyone was very happy. But Ramapad was a little bit nervous because he knew when his father will come, he won't be happy. So he thought what to do. And then he said, if I will marry the daughter, which was Dasharath's daughter, to him, we will be family, and then the sage wouldn't do anything to us. So they made the arrangement, they got married, everyone was happy, and now Rishi Sringa was called to Ayodhya to do the sacrifice for obtaining Ram. So he did it, he agreed, he came, they made a very complicated and beautiful sacrifice. And the last day, Vishnu appeared out of the fire, and sorry, it wasn't Vishnu. They called Vishnu, and then a man from Vaikuntha appeared. And he came with a pot full of milk and rice, and he gave it to Dasharath, and he said, "Divide it between your three." He had three women, three wives. Anyone knows the name? Kaushalya is one. Sumantra and Kekei. So he said, "Give one to Kaushalya, one to Kekei, and two to Saritra? Sumitra. And he did so, and then the four portions of Vishnu were born as from Kaushalya, Ram was born, and from Kekei, Bharat, and from Sumitra, Lakshman, and Shatrughna. And they were very beautiful, very powerful children. And they loved each other, which is unusual. They really liked to be in each other's company. Especially Ram liked to be with Lakshman, and Bharat liked to be with Shatrughna. And Dasharath was so happy. He showed them and taught them everything he could. How to play, how to fight, how to run a country. They got the best education, and they were very happy until one day, who came to Ayodhya? Vishvamitra. It was unusual. Vishvamitra was a very powerful sage, and at that time they don't come into the city, but he came from the Himalaya. He was doing austerities, and he came. And Dasharath was very honored and happy. He gave him his throne to sit, he washed his leg, and he said, "Whatever you want, I will give you." So Vishvamitra said, "You sure?" He was challenging him, and Dasharath said, "Yes, whatever you want, whatever I can give you, I will give you." And Vishvamitra said, "You will keep your promise in any way?" He said, "Yes." So Vishvamitra said, "Give me Lord Ram." And Dasharath was speechless. He was devastated. He said, "I will give you everything else." And Vishvamitra got angry, and his eyes became red, and he said, "You made a promise. Why do you..." Dasharath asked, "Why do you need Lord Ram?" And Vishvamitra explained that he's doing sacrifice and austerities for the benefit of all human beings, and there are demons that are coming and disturbing it, and there are messengers of Ravan. Ravan don't come himself because he doesn't feel it's important enough to come himself, but he would send his brothers and sister to disturb the sacrifice. So he said, I want Ram to come and protect the sacrifice. When we do the sacrifice, the demon comes and try to destroy it. Ram will fight them. And Dasharath said, I will come myself with my elephant. I'll bring all my soldiers. We'll protect the Yajna. And Vishvamitra said, no, I want Ram. You can choose. You can give me your son, or you can have him stay here, and then your good name and all your dynasty good name will vanish. So Dasharath had Vashishta to advise him, and he said, give him Lord Ram. Ram is not an ordinary person. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in the end, he decided to give him Ram. And that was Ram initiation. He went with Vishvamitra. They asked also that Lakshman will go with him because they were always together. And they learned about the different astras and mantras and everything. And then, I wonder how long should I go? 10 more minutes? 15 minutes? Yeah, 500 cantos. So that was his initiation, and he learned everything. And at that time, they came also near the place of Janak Maharaj, the place of Sita, and Ram and Sita had a marriage after Ram broke the bow, the famous bow. Whose bow was it? Shiva's bow. He just took it and broke it, and everyone was so impressed. So Janak Maharaj said, I will give you my daughter. And the marriage of Sita and Ram took place. And then on the way back, Parashuram heard about Lord Ramachandra, and he didn't believe how powerful he is. He himself killed all the Kshatriyas for 21 times. So on the way back, he came and he challenged Lord Ramachandra. He challenged Ram to fight with him. And he had another bow. Anyone knows which bow was it? It was Vishnu bow. It was very strong. And he gave Ram the bow and said, shoot an arrow. So it was a very huge bow. Ram took the bow, he was able to place the arrow, and he pointed it to Parashuram's heart, and he said, where should I shoot it? And Parashuram was very impressed. Impressed is not the right word. He was shocked. And he said, I understand that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Ram shoot the arrow, and some say the arrow is still flying in different universes until the annihilation of the universe. Some say that's the arrow that killed different demons. But anyway, Parashuram offers his obeisances and they continue. That's interesting. Yeah, Parashuram is also an incarnation. He was amazed with Lord Ramachandra. So then there came the story with Ram's exile. That it's a long story, but Dasharath decided to give the kingdom to Ram. Anyone loved Ram, and he was so perfect. He said, you shall be the king, and I'll go to the forest. That night, some say the demigods were worried, or from different reasons, Sumantra went to KK. She was a servant of KK, and she decided to change things. So she went to KK, and she told her that it's not fair that Ram will be the king. Your son Bharat is qualified, and you should make sure Bharat will be the king. And she gave different reasons, and she was able to control KK's mind. Some say she was Maya herself coming to change the mind of KK. And KK had three boons that Dasharath gave her long time ago. She was one time his charioteer, and saved his life. And he said, I will give you 3 boons. And she said, I will keep them for later. I don't need anything now. So that night when Dasharath came, she said, remember those boons you said you will give me? And he said, sure. And she said, are you willing to give it to me now? And he said, yes. And are you promising? And she made him promise that he will fulfill everything she wanted. And then she asked, please put Bharat as a king instead of Ram and send Ram to the forest for how many years? 14 years. 14 years. She wanted to make sure, because everyone loved Ram so much, she wanted to make sure that he will be far away. Otherwise, Bharat won't be able to be a king. So that's a very sad part of the Ramayana. I remember the second time we read it, I was reading it with Surit, and she was so disappointed the second time, and I was like, you already know the Ramayana. And she said, I was hoping KK will say something else and give up and say, okay, let Ram. it's a sad part of the Ramayana. And Ram decided to leave, although other, like Lakshman said, let's fight, no one can make. He said, no, I want to keep my father's promise. And he decided to leave, and all the people of Ayodhya decided to walk with him. So basically the whole city was walking to the forest, and Ram had to make a decision, and after they went to sleep early morning, they wake up and ran away from everyone, because it won't be an exile if all the city will go with him to the forest. But they loved him so much, they decided, we have to go with you, without you we won't live anymore. So he and Sita and Lakshman ran away. And Bharat, which is a very powerful character also in the Ramayana, later on he came back and he learned what Kekai did. And he was so sad because he loved Ram much more than himself, and he was very devoted to Ram. So he was very angry. And everyone he met said to him, yes, now you can enjoy the kingdom, Ram is in the forest. And he was so devastated. Everyone thought he was behind this idea. So he decided to go to the forest and bring Ram back and ask him to be the king. And he did it. He went to the forest. He said, please take the kingdom. I will stay here in the forest. He apologized. And Ram said, I cannot break the promise my father gave to KK. And that's one. We read before about the qualities of Ram, the perfect person. So one of those qualities is he always keeps his promises. He gave many promises during the Ramayana to different people, and he always kept his promise, no matter what the price was. So he kept his father's promise, and he decided to stay in the forest. Then Ravan kidnapped Sita. We won't go into it, but he kidnapped Sita, and Ram and Lakshman looked for her for a long, long time, until they found Jatayu, who told them what happened. And Ram decided, he sent a message to Ravan, give back Sita and I will forgive you. And Ravan said no. And Ram didn't have any army, so he made friends with Sugriva, who was the king of the Vanars, which is a type of monkeys. It's not exactly monkeys. It's like human monkeys. Between human beings and monkeys, and they're very powerful powers. And that was his army. If you remember, Ravan couldn't fight with human beings and monkeys. So it was Ram and the army of monkeys. And they went to get Sita back. It's a very beautiful story, which I recommend you will read if you have time. Even if you don't have time, read it at least one time in your life, the Ramayana. It's a very amazing book. Then Ravan had the devotee, brother Vibhishan, And Vibhishan was against Ram. He told him all the time, you have to give Sita back to Ram. You cannot do it. You will destroy the whole dynasty, which happened. It's interesting that the two big war in the Indian history or in the history of the world, both of them happened and destroyed dynasties because of offending a woman. The Mahabharata happened because Draupadi was offended, and the Ramayana because Sita. So how powerful it is. Yeah. So Vibhishan didn't agree with Ravan, and he decided to leave Ravan's army. He flew in the air. He had the ability, he was a Rakshasa, and he came into Ram camp, who was ready to attack Lanka. And all the monkeys says, that's a Rakshasa, let's kill him. And they were ready to kill him. He came with two friends, I think. And it's a very famous verse, and I'll end with this verse. Ram said that maybe he's a Rakshasa, maybe he's an enemy, but whoever surrendered to me, I completely forgive him, and I will give him shelter. And the end was that Vibhishan joined his army. They built a bridge across the ocean. They killed Ravan, and they went back to Ayodhya, and Ram became the king. So, anyone have any comments or questions about Lord Ramachandra?
This is a question about the Rakshasas. How you were saying they were man-eaters. I don't remember reading this anywhere, but I heard that even the Rakshasas wouldn't eat animals. Did you ever hear that? Because a human being can defend himself where animals can't. Do you know anything about that? I don't remember where I heard it.
Like to eat the most rishis, because they have the best, they're vegetarian and they're sweetest, so Rakshasas like to eat sages.
I had a question. You said that Dasarath gave three... Dasarath. No, there were three boons. One was... two boons? Oh, okay. Okay, thank you.
We had a question the other day about Jambavant. What was his species?
Jambavant is a bear, and he's the only one that actually was in Ram Lila and in Krishna Lila. He's a very old... Who more? Hanuman in Krishna Lila? Yeah. Yeah. Hanuman... Yeah. He's the brother of Bhima. So he came to visit. I don't remember him in Krishna pastimes, but it's in the Mahabharata. Really? I never heard it. But yeah, Hanuman was present because he was on the flag of Arjuna. And there are few. I think he's the oldest. He's in both pastimes. He was a guru. Yeah, and he fought with Krishna about the Shyamantaka jewel. And then at a certain point he recognized that that's my Lord Ramachandra. I as far as I know, and I don't say it authoritatively, those like the Vanaras, they are not exactly monkeys and not exactly human beings. They are a species that is very powerful. It's not like we go now and see a monkey and say that's a Vanara. And the same with the bears. They had mystic power. They had the powers of a bear, but also a human being. Do you know anything about Vanaras and bears?
I was wondering, so Ram is an incarnation of Krishna. I was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita also. It said that Lord Chaitanya also looked like Krishna, had the same features, but he was golden. So was it also with Lord Ram that he also looked like Krishna, but he was, I think, green or something, different color?
I read that he was dark blue also in one version of the Ramayana. It's this description art is very beautiful, and it kind of resembles the descriptions of Krishna in some ways. There is the I think what you are referring to is the Sadbhaj, that there is a deity that Lord Chaitanya manifested one time, that is Ramachandra, Krishna, and what the third one? And Chaitanya himself. So he had three different arms with different colors. And yeah, the Sadbhaj. It's the three incarnations. He's the seventh incarnation. He's very special because he has all the human features. Prabhupada says, I read this morning, Prabhupada said in a way he came to educate us and show us how to rule a kingdom in a perfect way. And if you look today in India, there are so many millions of people who still hold the ideal of Ram, and there are even political parties, they call themselves Ram, and they want to be the perfect leaders in society. And it came to what Krishna says to do, to annihilate the demons and protect and give pleasure to the devotees. Anything else? Thank you. Lord Ramachandra ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.